This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but did not communicate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus.
Great work, Clara. Thank you. I'm just going to move that stool because I don't really need it. Well, it's good not only to read the Christmas message, but also to spend a moment thinking about what it means. Because if, as it claims, it's really good news for us, it's worth learning from, isn't it? And it's worth understanding what that good news is and how it lands for us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment to come to understand this message and be reminded what Christmas is all about. But before we get any further, let me kick off with a question. You don't have to answer this out loud, so just think about it for a moment. The question is, what do you need this Christmas? What do you need this Christmas? And maybe I can extend that. But what do you need for this Christmas to be a good Christmas? Have a think about that for a moment. Maybe you need the turkey to cook just right. I cooked a turkey for the very first time a couple of weeks back and I found it terribly stressful. It was quite tasty though. Maybe you need your wife to actually like what you got her rather than have to make another shopping trip. Maybe you need a good score in backyard cricket. Maybe you need a cricket pitch in your backyard that looks like that. I do. That's magnificent. We do like playing cricket, don't we? Maybe you need a nap mid-afternoon for it to be a good Christmas. I know that I do. Need is maybe a bit strong, maybe want is better. But there are deeper things we do feel like we need at Christmas, aren't there? Maybe we need not to wake up to a headline like last Sunday's. I don't think we need to do that again for a long time, do we? Maybe we need some comfort. And some peace this Christmas because there's feelings of grief or emotion or loss at this time of year particularly. Maybe we need some sense of purpose or hope or substance to life because life has kind of been feeling a bit empty or aimless or we've just been drifting lately. Maybe that's what we need this year. Now, I understand that's all a bit heavy and maybe a little bit bleak, but the good news is that the Christmas message that we celebrate and that we remember every year, Christmas actually has the oomph to deal with things like that, even big questions like that. We can easily make Christmas quite cute, can't we? If I walk up and down our street like we did last night, there's lots of lovely little nativity scenes up and down their street, having been retrieved from where they blew in the wind on Monday. And it is, it's very cute and it's very folksy and very nice. And we can so kind of make the mistake that that's what Christmas is all about. But actually what the Bible tells us is there's real grit and meaning and substance to Christmas. That Christmas actually gives us everything we need to grapple with even the hardest and worst of human nature. It even gives us what we need to grapple with that most searching of questions, the question of why. That Christmas speaks to us of great promises met with an even greater yes, and of deep needs met with a deeper gift. Now the truth is, gifts tell you a lot, don't they? If you get gifted deodorant or body wash at Christmas. Maybe that's making a suggestion for you that you might not be welcome to. A couple of years ago, I was gifted a fruit basket by my grandmother while my siblings got chocolates. thanks, Alma. The good news is we don't have to wonder when it comes to God's gift at Christmas because he tells us exactly why he gives it and he tells us exactly what he intends by giving this gift. You might have seen it when Clara read it just before. He said, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." See, by giving Jesus, whose name literally means God saves, God's giving us a big hint, isn't he? He's saying, hey, do you remember what you need? What you need is saving from sin. See, that's our big problem, he's saying. And that's what God's big gift, the gift that is at the center of Christmas and the center of God's entire plan, is all about. See, if God had just sent us a teacher, you know, we'd know our problem is just a lack of information or a lack of knowledge. If God had sent us, you know, a warrior or a hero, he'd be saying that our problem is an enemy that needs defeating. If he'd sent us a leader, he'd be saying, we've got a governance issue. But he's sent us a saviour, a from-sin saviour. He's saying to us at Christmas, that's your issue, that's your need. Now, we might balk at the idea that sin is the real problem behind all of our needs, but when we come to the Bible again and again, that's what it insists. That we can trace all of our needs and all of our problems and all that's wrong with the world back to the issue of sin. So if you think of some of the things we mentioned before, the reason why we might need comfort is because when sin entered the world, one of its most awful consequences was death. And yes, we know death is immediately caused by sickness or by accident or by any number of things, but underlying all of that, the Bible says, is sin. Or, you know, the reason we need meaning or substance or hope in life is because when sin entered the world, it deeply affected the core of who we are and what we were made to live for, and we've been searching for it ever since. Sin caused that problem for us. Now, if we had time, we could go on through all of our problems and all of our issues. But what it's saying to us is all of our needs, whether trivial or deep, all that is wrong with the world, the Bible traces back to sin. Now, when you think about it, there's something a little bit daunting there, or maybe a little bit off-putting. Because what it's saying to us then is that all of the brokenness and all of the hurt that we see in all of the world, that it's all related, even if it expresses itself in different ways. It all comes from the same cause, even if it looks a little bit different. You can think of it a bit like how, you know, the same sickness can have different symptoms. So women get the flu and life goes on. Men get the flu and it's the end of the world. And it's a medical mystery. It's a well-established medical mystery. But same illness, different symptoms. Sin is kind of the same. It's the same illness in all of us, but different symptoms. Kind of a scary thought when you think about it, isn't it? Because what it means is, what happened at Bondi last Sunday isn't all that different from an argument at Christmas lunch. Same illness, different symptoms. But it's also a hopeful thought, because it means that the solution is found in the same place. As the angel announced, he will save his people from their sins. Now, we might wonder, well, is this just like human arrogance? You know, to claim that every single problem in the world has come from our sins, from stuff that we've done. Maybe that's just our ego at work. But actually, the Bible backs that up. It backs it up by saying simply that we matter, that we're actually really important. If you go right back to the start of the story of the Bible, this is what it says. This is a command that was given to humanity. And it was, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It says, you guys get to kind of rule over creation. You're like little kings over all the world. But even more than that, it says not only were we made to be over creation, it says that the world and its fortunes are established and depend on a harmonious God and humanity relationship. This is what God said to us. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And what he's saying there, he's saying this special role he's given to humanity, this imaging idea, that means living in harmony with and as representatives of God, that's actually fundamental to the whole existence of the world. This God and man relationship kind of underpins how this world is made to work. Which is why when we sin, when we reject God and when we break that relationship, everything else gets affected too. And that's why the second thing God tells us about his Jesus, his sin-saving gift, is so good. Because he doesn't just call him Jesus, which means God saves. He calls him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I don't know if you've ever had that random family member in your family. Maybe you are this person. The auntie or uncle, or, you know, mum's cousin, someone who's not particularly close, who's never around but sometimes sends gifts in the mail. I don't know if you've ever had that. You know, it's your birthday and maybe 3 days before or 5 days afterwards, all of a sudden a card rocks up in the mail. And if you're lucky, it's cash in a card. If you're unlucky, it's, you know, the random toy that's meant for kids about 5 years younger than you. I don't know if you've had that experience. You appreciate the thought, but a mailed-in present, it's like, it's nice, isn't it? But it's not kind of the thing. It's gifts are supposed to be relational, aren't they? Like, they're supposed to bring us closer together, and something sent in the mail doesn't really do that. That's why God's gift here is so good, isn't it? Because what he's saying in his gift is, Emmanuel, God with us. That's this kind of gift. So when God gives a solution to what's going on in the world, you know, he doesn't just do it from a distance. He doesn't just post it in. He sends someone who is God with us. And it speaks to us not just of saving, but it speaks to us of restoring that relationship between God and humanity. Of both, you know, removing that offense of sin, but also starting this healing process again. Bringing us back together as he'd always intended us to be. And just as the brokenness in the world began there in our God and man relationship and then spread to the rest of the world, so too the healing that Jesus brings begins there in our hearts and in our relationship with God and then spreads to the rest of our lives and the rest of the world. And so Christmas speaks of that gift, the restoration of our relationship with God, the removal of our sin and us being brought back together with him. And it speaks to it as a true gift that is offered freely, without any cost at all, to anyone who would receive it, including to you. So what do you need this Christmas? Well, it's what God's given. It's Jesus, his son, to save from sin, to be God with us, to heal and restore and make right. And the great news of Christmas is you can very simply receive that. It's just a matter of praying, which, admittedly, if you haven't done it much, might feel a bit weird, but just think of it as talking to God. And don't worry, he can hear. You don't have to go somewhere special or do it in a special way. He can hear you. And to receive it is simply to ask, I need you, please help me. It really is that straightforward. Now, obviously, there's more to the story, but that's how it starts. Now, if you've still got questions, if you're unsure how, that's totally okay. We haven't been here long. There's lots more to say. What I'd encourage you is just connect with us after the service. There's a bunch of ways to do that. We'll talk about how. And we would love to work through those questions and those uncertainties. But what I would really want to urge you this morning is, you know, if this thought has entered your mind, if the question is there or there's a niggle and you're just thinking, I wonder, maybe, please don't let that slip by. It's going to get overwhelmed as Christmas approaches and all the stuff that we're doing this week happens. So take that moment now. Connect and look into this more. Because God is offering the greatest of gifts in response to your most desperate needs. And it's absolutely free. So take him up on that offer. You won't regret it, I promise you that. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to say thanks to God for Christmas. So let me lead us as we come to God and talk to him again. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for giving your own beloved son, Jesus. And in him, beginning this process of healing and restoring and saving from our sin and all it caused. We thank you that you loved us enough to do this. And thank you that you care for us so much. That you want to be close to us, that you want to restore this relationship with us. We just want to pray that you would help us to truly know you in all your love and goodness and care, and find in you the life that you sent Jesus to give us. In his name we pray. Amen.